Online Trading Academy is a leader in investing and stock trading education. Sign up for a class today to learn proven strategies on how to trade smarter. Text Cairo to 57682 and register for a free workshop in Bellevue and other surrounding areas. Text Cairo to 57682.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio and streaming on Facebook Live. Welcome to The Big Show. And oh gosh, it's good to be back.
We're happy.
Thankful to have you back.
It is so good to be back. Oh, I can't tell you how good it is to be back. So, look, I got so much news to talk about, and I've been just show prepping for today for several days now because I had nothing else to do. And I want to get to all of this news, but can I tell you a little bit of my last week here?
It sounds like it was quite the vacation.
Yeah. So here was the concept going into the week. And first of all, Nicole has just been guilting me for weeks about taking a few days off. I mean, heavy.
Sort of.
No. Heavy duty guilt is what you've been engaged
in.
Which is good because she is concerned about you. And I have to say, I told Nicole on Friday, I said,
I'm concerned about rating, so I didn't want him to go on vacation. That's what he's saying, as I was guilting him about leaving.
Oh, but leaving.
No, look, I lose vacation days every single year because I don't take all my vacation.
Every year. No, and I think it's important that you take vacation.
I lose about 2 weeks of vacation.
Yeah.
Right?
So
my wife and I, we have this idea that our oldest daughter is getting married in now less than a month. We're about the 28-day mark or so. And so we had this idea, you know what, let's just go someplace warm and we'll take whichever kids are available and can work it into their work schedule. Because when you go on vacation, as you know, you go to dinner together, you're just together. It's just a good way to bond and have family time.
Unadulterated family time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so we thought, well, this will really be the last time with our oldest before she gets married. So she was able to get the whole week off work.
Nice.
And our middle daughter couldn't get the whole week, but she said, well, she'll fly down Wednesday night. And we usually go to Palm Desert, but the place we like was full. So we thought, well, let's try Scottsdale. We'll just find a place in Scottsdale. So then our middle daughter was going to come down Wednesday night and meet us. And our youngest just started a new job a couple months ago, so it didn't make sense for her to take time out. But so that was the plan. Ursula, I was so looking forward to it. Just having some family time.
And what I was going to say is on Friday, you looked especially tired. And I thought, my gosh, I'm so glad you were going to go on vacation.
I know. And so we were going to leave, or we did leave Sunday morning. And on Saturday, a week ago Saturday, I start getting into vacation mode. So I go get a haircut and a pedicure. And I'm sitting, my feet are soaking. We're going to get up Sunday morning. We're going to be in the sun. Fantastic. So Saturday night / Sunday morning, 2:30 a.m., I wake up and I am drenched in sweat. I get out of bed. I can't stand up straight.
Oh, no.
And then I go into the bathroom, then I come back and I think, well, I'll just try to sleep this off. And half hour later, soaked in sweat, just pain. And
where was the pain though?
It was in my gut.
Okay.
And so we were all gonna get up at 6 a.m. to go to the airport to fly down to Arizona. And I was thinking about waking my wife at 3 a.m. and saying, hey honey, I think I have to go to the ER because something's, I mean, you can just tell.
Yeah.
It was not normal.
It's a pain that you can't, no matter what position you move into, you can't get rid of.
Oh. Okay. So I can't stand up straight, but I really want to go on this family vacation.
Yeah.
And so.
TikTok, it's just a few hours away.
Yes. Yeah. We're just about to leave. And so I just decide to not say anything and not do anything. And I get up Sunday morning, and our middle daughter's going to drive us to the airport. And she just had this look on her face. Dad, are you okay? Because I'm pale as a ghost. And I go, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. So we get to the airport and we get on the plane. And I'm just sick as a dog. I'm just,
are you like actually getting sick at this point?
No, I just.
But you just felt even worse.
Oh, just horrible. And I've got my head against the seat in front of me and it's just awesome.
And then knowing you're going to be in a plane for a couple of hours, that only adds to the anxiety, right?
So I'm trying to get some sleep and we get to Phoenix and we drive to Scottsdale. And our the place we're staying is not quite ready, so we go to the grocery store. And, man, I'm telling you, and my wife goes, we got to get you to an ER. And I said, yeah. I knew something pretty significant's going on.
But at no point did you think, because this is a long time, at no point did you think it was a heart attack?
No. Okay. No,
because I would have not, like, wasted that much time.
No, it was severe abdominal pain. Whatever it was. So we get to the ER. And, oh, by the way, this hospital in Scottsdale, fantastic. Oh, my goodness. It was just awesome. They get me right in. They go, well, we're going to have to do a CT scan. And now I'm starting to feel, because my wife and daughter are sitting there, and I'm feeling guilty. It's supposed to be the first day of our vacation. And I'm, we get the CT scan, and then the doctor comes in and says, if I told you, or if you'd known that you needed surgery Sunday night, would you have gotten on the plane this morning?
Oh,
Saturday night. Oh, I get you.
Yeah. And I said, no, of course not. And he goes, we got to bring a surgeon in right now for Sunday night. It was my appendix.
You have to bring a surgeon. Oh, okay, I suppose, yeah, because it's Sunday. Okay.
Yeah, it was my appendix.
Oh, man.
And, oh, my goodness. Now I'm just, I was so frustrated.
I know.
I was so sad and frustrated.
Oh, man.
And so he goes, yeah, it's she's ready to blow. And apparently once they rupture, it's really bad because you got infection everywhere.
Yeah, it's pretty much deadly.
Yeah. And so they bring in the surgeon at 8 o'clock on Sunday night. And the other thing that kind of freaks you out is as they're checking you in, they said, do you have a living will or the...
What are your wishes? Basically, and what are your wishes? In essence, it's like, do you want any heroic things done? Should you something bad happen?
Yeah.
And so it was comforting.
And before I got the CT results, of course, I immediately start thinking about the worst case scenario. Oh, it's pancreatic cancer. And that's just where my head goes. That I'll be gone in 3 months here. And so they come back and they tell me that, you know, you have to have surgery, but they said it's the most common abdominal surgery. Mm-hmm. And so they
give you drugs at this point, right? Because at some point you texted us.
Was I coherent?
No.
Well, you were telling us that it was your gallbladder.
Yeah. So then I was trying to tell you, people lose their gallbladder. No. Yeah.
That was a joke that you didn't get.
Gallbladder.
Ursula didn't get. Because I said they might have to give me a gallbladder because it was that Wyman audio.
Oh, yes. And I knew about that audio. But in that moment, obviously, we weren't thinking.
I was trying to joke, but I was also on morphine. Yeah. So
I figured you just pretty much lost your mind at that point. I'm trying to make
morphine.
You feel better about the gallbladder.
Yeah. And by the way, morphine, I hadn't had morphine in about 20 years. It's not as good as I remember. 20 years ago, it was fantastic.
Good thing.
Now it's...
You don't want to get hooked on that.
No. Thing. Now it's just, I thought it'd be more fun, but it wasn't.
Not when you're about to get your appendix out.
So anyway, then I come to after the surgery, and the doctor said, he goes, yeah, you know, another hour or two, this could have been really bad. He goes, it was very nasty, and I don't want to gross people out on their lunch break. Pus everywhere.
Okay, no. What? That was not necessary. Gross.
I want that to go trending. I want hashtag pus everywhere to go trending starting today. So they said, yeah, usually you would get out tomorrow. They're just making faces at me.
So gross.
They said, usually you'd get out the next day, but they said, no, you're going to be here at least a couple of nights. And
what better way to spend your vacation?
Lordy. And so I'm laying in this hospital. You got nothing to do. Nothing. And I discovered how I know why our ratings are so good. Daytime television is awful. There is nothing. There's only one network worth watching. You know which one it is?
What?
Take a guess. What do you think? Everybody, what do you think the one network worth watching is? And it's the only one.
HGTV.
Exactly.
Oh, serious?
Exactly.
That's what I watch in the day.
Jeez. I watched
about. Say Food Network?
Nah, even Food Network, which I usually like.
I do love HGTV.
I like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, but I must watch 20 episodes of Flipper Flop.
And there's Flipper Flop Nashville, Flipper Flop. I mean, they got every city Flipper Flop.
There's everything. Yeah. Lottery, home, millionaire, whatever they call it. And it's. Oh, I know the entire lineup now of HGTV, believe me.
Chip and Joanna, aren't they great?
Joanna's just a doll. He's kind of annoying. And the Flipper Flop couple, apparently they got a divorce.
Yes.
I don't want to get into that too much. But so anyway, so I'm there Monday, I'm there Tuesday, and then I go back to the hotel after Tuesday, and my wife and daughters are going to Sedona, and they're going hiking, and they're playing tennis, and all the stuff that I was going to do all week, and I'm just laying in this hotel room in Scottsdale for the entire week. It was.
I heard you were productive, though.
Well, all I did was I started working on today's show.
Well, that, but I thought you made some money.
Oh, yeah. I played some horse races, too.
Of course. Yeah, yeah.
I was betting the East Coast tracks. It was so pathetic.
Trying to pay for your copay.
Oh, man. Yeah, so that's my vacation week. I think it's $4,000 copay and then whatever the vacation cost. What?
$4,000 copay?
Well, that's our maximum out-of-pocket, our insurance plan. Yeah. Your maximum out-of-pocket for a year is $4,000. Wow. And believe me, we're going to be surgeon on Sunday night.
Wow.
You're going to be well over that.
And I saw the little puppy they brought you.
Yeah, they brought me a therapy dog on Monday because I was getting so sad.
Okay, so do not be dumping on those therapy animals.
No.
Well, you didn't try to take it home on the plane.
This is a legit therapy dog for somebody who actually had a malady. Not the people who have to bring their dog on the plane. So they anyway, it was interesting. Have lots of time to be very reflective. I was so reflective last week. Oh man,
I may let you take a makeup vacation eventually.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, Nick, you gotta get her off my back, Ursula. She's. Nicole's just relentless.
We just miss you.
We do. And it, you know what? It makes Nicole's job just that much more challenging.
Yeah,
I mean, we have fantastic fill-ins,
right.
And they're great people, but we have a team thing here that I really like.
Well, and I want to thank Greg Tomlin and G and Zach and Todd Herman. And then Thursday and Friday, how were Wyman and Brock? Were they okay?
Chaos. It was like a twister stop by the studio.
But they were hilarious.
It was awesome.
I mean, they were great. They did great.
You know, Brock's going to join us in a few minutes for our Monday Monson quarterback.
One thing you need to do, if you haven't already, you need to pull the first few minutes of the show.
All Brock did was giggle.
Yeah.
He couldn't say hello to the audience because he was just giggling.
Which day? Thursday?
Yes.
Will you pull the audio? I want to hear that.
And he threw it to Dave because he couldn't even open the show because he was just giggling.
Okay. That sounds like Brock. But I will tell you guys, and I've already told Nicole this, but I'll tell you, Ursula. Brock and Dave both were texting me, and they were just raving about you guys. And Brock was telling me what an absolutely fantastic team we have here. And it was very, I mean, it's stuff that I've always known and that I'm pretty sure I've conveyed to you guys. But to hear it from somebody else who parachutes in and tells me that we have the best team they've ever seen. It's very nice.
Well, and we enjoyed it, but we enjoyed them, but we also enjoy the fact that you're back, and we're glad that you're on the mend.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry, you do need another vacation. No.
Oh, I did, more than ever.
More than ever. I'm selfishly glad that it happened at the beginning of your vacation so you didn't end up off for another week.
Well, I was what I focused on in all sincerity was just how incredibly blessed I am, because if that thing had ruptured at 38,000 feet,
goner.
You it can kill you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was looking into that. So it was stupid of me to get on that plane. And then the other thing that my wife and I were talking about, if this had happened a month from now, the weekend of my daughter's wedding.
Bummer. And all that dance practice.
I know. Yeah, my dance lessons were for naught. So that's what I was really focusing on. That, yeah, it sucks. But all things considered, incredibly blessed that it did blow earlier and that, yeah, like I said, if it had happened the weekend of my daughter's wedding, that would have been just an absolute nightmare. So anyway, I want to thank all those people who filled in, and thank you guys for all your nice thoughts.
And welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. It's good to be back. Oh, here, I'll tell you one last thing. And then we'll bring Brock in right after the news. And then I'm going to talk about news. But everybody was wondering what was going on, so I just wanted to fill you in. And then we'll get to all the news and all the local craziness and all of that. So the doctor tells me you can't lift more than 10 pounds for, they said, a month after you have this. So I'm getting on the plane yesterday. Never have I been happier. You know that sad depression on as you're getting ready to leave vacation?
It's usually about the day before you're supposed to leave.
I have never been so happy to have a weekend. I was so bored. So we're getting on the plane, and my daughters are lifting bags into the overhead, and I have my little computer case, and it's probably 20 pounds because I got a computer and an iPad and a bunch of stuff in it. And my daughter says, "I'll put in the overhead for you," and I go, "No, I can lift this because I don't want the other passengers." I don't want to explain. I'm not allowed to lift. That's why I'm making my dog.
It's none of their business. They're too busy.
I know, but I'm a moron.
If you would have popped a stitch.
So I lifted up and I immediately, I was back to where I was on like Friday or Saturday. And yeah, it was just so stupid. It was like getting on the plane was stupid a week
ago. It's
called
stubbornness.
It is. Just ridiculous. But anyway, and I'll tell you one other thing real quick. Boy, I miss my appendix. We had a lot of good times together.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, that was, we've had a lot
of fun. Goodbye in Arizona.
Yeah, I was thinking about seeing if I could save it. And then one of my girls could have it on the mantle next to the ashes.
I don't think they save those.
40 years from now. I know. All right, so anyway, that's what happened, but we'll get to all the news, but it's good to be back. I can't tell you how good it is to be back. Okay, Ursula's going to check the news. Brock Heward's going to join us, Monday Monson quarterback, and then we'll get into all the craziness that's going on around here, including Governor Inslee's insane HBO appearance. All of that straight ahead as we get rolling here on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, thanks for listening to the Dory Monson Show podcast, brought to you by Industrious Office. If you are on the search for your business's next home, there's simply no hotter place in the country than downtown Seattle right now. I went on a tour with Emily at Industrious Office. It's an amazing workspace right on 6th and Lenora in the heart of all that Seattle has to offer. Visit industriousoffice.com/Cairo or call Emily to schedule a tour. Mention Cairo, receive your first month lease for free.
Hey there, you're listening to Dory. Did you know that your customers do too? Why don't you advertise here? Give me a call and I'll help you out. Tina Sorensen, General Sales Manager for Cairo Radio, 206-726-6819.
Monday afternoon, and that means it is time for the Monday Monson quarterback, and that, of course, is the great Brock Heward, who is in a co-hosting role for this segment instead of the lead chair that he was in Thursday and Friday.
Feels a little different. I feel like Nick Foles. You know, Nick Foles was the backup quarterback for Philly, and then he gets his chance. He runs all the way to a world championship. I kind of felt that way. Friday, I was on a high, Dory. I was at the mall. Mm-hmm. I was in a store I'd never been in before called Lululemon. I'm going to guess you've never been in Lululemon either.
Oh, I got a pair of slacks at Lululemon just a couple months ago.
Did you really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
so Lululemon in Vegas.
There you go. Well, absolutely. I did the same thing, and could feel this couple in there, and they were very nice, and husband, wife, they're big listeners of your show.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, you guys were just out of control.
That's what I heard.
Poor Nicole, just out of control. You had me laughing, and just, yeah, I was on this high Friday. I felt great.
You feel like Nick Foles. I feel like Wally Pipp.
You have nothing to worry about.
I don't know.
I was telling you before this segment, it was very interesting doing two shows your day, mm-hmm. because the news side is very liberating. There's endless opportunities. The canvas is all yours.
Right.
And there are so many stories. The sports side, like, we live in these silos of, you talk the NFL, you talk the Mariners, and, you know, we'll share our personal stories and family and stuff, but there's, like, the content is pretty defined.
Right.
You can do anything.
Anything.
Any given day, you can do anything you want.
Well, and you were in a tough situation because I was very mindful of this when I first got this show, because I had been a sports guy, and that's what I wanted to do when I started out my career. And then, you know, we have this program director who got this insane idea to give me a news talk show. And so one of my big focuses then was, I don't want to be the sports guy. I'm not going to talk about sports at all.
Yeah.
I got to prove that I got the chops to do news. And the tough thing is, when you have a show every morning, 7 to 10, 7:10 ESPN Seattle, you don't want to tick off half your audience mm-hmm. by saying something on my show. And so I felt like we were putting you in kind of a challenging spot, but I also knew you guys would do great.
Sure. And push comes to shove. You just got to have a little bit of fun then.
Yeah.
You know, now, Wyman's a little linebacker, though. He's a little feisty. He was ready to tackle anybody at any time. And I just was dancing like a quarterback. I was back there dancing and let Dave just, you know, go on the rampage when he wanted to, which was a blast. And then poor Nicole and Sean and the rest of them had to pick up all the pieces. So let me just say this. I'm not just kissing up to mm-hmm. Nicole and Sean and everybody on your show. Ursula, man, what a team. No wonder you got the number one show in town.
Very blessed.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Ursula just laughing at us. Nicole, like 50 different ideas. You know, Sean, witty, fun. Like, you got quite a team.
Well, and
Drew Andrew, the youngster, man, he's getting he gets his job done. It's like you got a whole crew.
Yeah,
everybody can do their job well. Yeah. It's amazing.
Drew doesn't work on my show anymore, though.
Oh, he doesn't. Oh, you ran him out.
Yeah.
Well, good. Dump that then.
Yeah.
Don't you have a dump button?
Yeah, we'll
do some of that.
Well, and Brock was texting me what he just said a few days ago. He was texting me very nice things, and I told you the audience wants you and Wyman to be the permanent guest house, kind of like when Johnny Carson said Joan Rivers is going to be my permanent guest host. You could be my Joan Rivers.
You know what? Before this attack that you had, I would have said yes. But now mm-hmm. that you've had this, you know, I don't know if you've looked at all the studies of people post appendix.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if I'm comfortable with that. I don't know where this is going to go. I don't know the number of days of filling in. Like, you went like years, 20 years with what, one sick day? And post-appendix, I don't know.
Oh, and I mentioned this in the big lead a few minutes ago, but recuperating in a Scottsdale hotel room. It's gorgeous outside. Oh. My wife and daughters are going up to Sedona and going hiking, and they're doing all the stuff that we were going to do. And I was just sitting there all bored as can be. It was quite an adventure. Yeah. It was something else.
Well, it's good to have you back,
okay,
brother.
But thank you for what you and Dave did, and, of course, Greg Tomlin and Zach and Burns and Todd Herman. So everybody was very, very nice last week. So one of the stories that I'm following is the Mariners got to get rid of Ichiro.
Mm.
That's one of the big sports stories that I've been seeing the last few days.
Yeah, when you're the longest drought in professional sports with the playoffs, you have no benefit of the doubt. You have no margin for error.
Right.
And you know what? On the surface, you can kind of logically, baseball-wise, explain it. You really can. Yeah, flexibility, roster flexibility. They don't play baseball like they do football for just one day. They played for a week, for a month, for 162 games. But, yeah, this one just emotionally rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. Mm. And I think rightfully so, Dory. There's some years there, and heck, the previous leadership said as much. Like, the bottom line matters. Like, you know, their profit and their bottom line and their business, and that was going to trump some things. And because of it, there was immense frustration. I don't think John Stanton and Kevin Mather, this was a decision from them on top, saying, hey, this is the way it's going to be. Each one's going to stick around here. We want the cheers. We want the goodwill. I really don't. I really would bet your appendix on it that that's not the case.
I can't take the bet because I don't have one to bet.
But emotionally, it is. It just, people are just held hostage to some of those comments and so frustrated because, you know, they feel like, well, at every turn, is this team doing all they can to build a winner and have success?
Yeah, and whenever you make decisions based on the gate or on nostalgia or on rewarding somebody for past accomplishments, it never works
out. It doesn't work.
No, I mean, it was like the Sean Alexander thing with the Seahawks and even bringing Griffey back for his final go-round with the Mariners.
It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, Salk said it this morning on our show, and I think you would probably tend to agree with us. We're too nice sometimes, and especially that organization. Just too nice.
Well, and the fans
too nice.
Give them too much leeway.
Too nice.
They're still middle of the pack in attendance with, as you just said, the longest playoff drought in any of the major sports, and the fans still turn out, and it does feel too much. The people around here are content with the long hair cap giveaway night and the bobbleheads and all of that instead of demanding. And I just don't understand fans who are content and will still keep coming out.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? It made me think over the last couple decades, and you may agree or disagree with this, but you know, in our market, the most successful teams that we have seen in our market of the last 30 years, as I've watched them, have been some of those that have a little orneriness to them, a little disrupting, a little mix it up. Heck, the run the Seahawks have been on with some of the worst losers, some of the most bad sports, the most penalized team, Pete that just doesn't really apologize for anything and just like mixing up with anybody.
No.
Don James built, you know, a program on the level of fear. He was up in his watchtower.
Yeah.
He wasn't the warm and fuzzy and friendly and kiss tail with everybody. Like, you know, a couple of the most, even Gary Payton in the glove. Marshawn Lynch with the Seahawks, Randy Johnson in the mid-90s to early 2000s, just mixing it up. And there was not a level of niceness there. It was a ferocity.
Yeah.
That many times, I think, when we look at our teams in this era and in this market, the most success is often found some guys have been pretty disruptive.
Yeah, and it's not just sports. As you were saying that, it just strikes me that's true for businesses. It's true in life. Is you got to make decisions based on some objective data rather than subjectivity, and it's fine if you want to be less than you're capable of and feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
But I think we do that way too much.
Too many pleasers.
Yeah.
That's why I'm stuck on the sports. I can never do your job.
Yeah, you
can't please everybody. Right. No, can't please everybody.
We ever going to get you over to the big dog station here? Everybody wants you.
Yeah.
Everybody wants you and Lyman now.
Short supply story, short little burst. Okay, don't have the long engagement, man. Short little burst, get married, tie the knot, and yeah. So I know my strengths, I know my limitations, and I'm going to stick to my side.
Okay, well,
but we had a blast.
Thank you again.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
We'll be back.
All right, that is Brock Huard. He is the Monday Monster quarterback, and you can hear him every morning 7 to 10 on our sister station, 710 ESPN Seattle. And next Monday when we visit, we'll review that Seahawk draft.
I'll probably be down at the old VMAC because we'll have Coach Carroll after the draft, and you'll probably we'll chat that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Look forward to it. Thanks, Brock.
You got it,
Dory. Appreciate it. Okay. We have lots more to come straight ahead as the Dory Monson Show.
Rolls on, rolls on, rolls on.
Oh, Brock. A lot of stuff to get to in the Fastest 15. Jay Inslee on HBO this weekend. It was incredible to watch. And I got a bunch of audio that I'm going to share with you. We're going to talk about the homelessness crisis that continues to rip apart this region. There was one story that I know was huge last week. And I think people would be a little surprised by my take on it. But when former First Lady Barbara Bush passed away, a despicable city councilwoman, Kashama Sawant, the Women's March sent out a tweet about Barbara Bush that simply said, "Rest in peace and power, Barbara Bush." And Kashama Sawant decided that she had to open her trap about this. And she, on Twitter, wrote, "This is terrible. Women's March organizers have helped lead historic protests since Trump's election, but this tweet shows how, without a political compass, even well-meaning progressives can end up giving cover to ruling class and ultimately undermining struggles against oppression." So she was upset that somebody said rest in peace when Barbara Bush passed away. And oh man, I was reading all the outrage here about it. What a horrible thing Kashama Sawant said. And I got to tell you, I did not have a problem with it because it was consistent with what she is. She's a disgusting pig of a human being. She really is. But when you send out tweets like that, you're either, and I couldn't find a timestamp on it. I have it. 9:43 a.m. And I was looking at that because I thought, well, maybe she was drunk when she sent it out. You know, maybe she's on prescription meds. Maybe she's bipolar. She's one of the most narcissistic people we've ever observed in public life. But that's who and what she is. I was watching, I was flipping the dial, trying to find anything to pass the time last week. And I saw MSNBC doing this glowing tribute to Barbara Bush. That disgusted me more than Sawant's tweet. Because MSNBC just brutally savaged the people that Barbara Bush, and Barbara Bush, above all else, was quite clearly the matriarch of a very loving family. And you can disagree all you want with their politics, but ultimately what I think defines all of us is our families and how we interact with the people we love the most. And MSNBC, you know, they put people like Olbermann on the air who did his, you know, crazed rants about her son, George W. And I thought, this is the height of hypocrisy. A network that has never had one good thing to say about this family. And, you know, regardless of what you think, Barbara Bush was married to the president of the United States of America and was the mother of a two-term president. And this network never had one thing to say about the family. And they ripped them. And then she passes away and they do this glowing tribute to her. That bothered me way more than the Sawant thing. Because Sawant's consistent. She's an idiot. She's consistently an idiot, but she's consistent. And I may disagree with everything she says and stands for and is all about, but I appreciate honesty in people. And instead of sending out some phony baloney tweet, now, what the best thing for her to do would be to shut up. But she's incapable of that. This was not a reflection of Sawant. It was consistent with everything we know about her. Now, who do I find disgusting regarding the Sawant part of the story? The idiots who voted for her. Because this is a representative government. And when a Seattle City Council person sends out a, you know, another idiotic tweet, she is representing everyone who voted for her. And I think it is reflective of the idiocy of her voters. And for them, I would have more contempt than for Sawant. Sawant's somebody that I vehemently disagree with on everything. but she wasn't phony. And she didn't say something. Again, I wish she had just shut up. But she is absolutely incapable of that. So she was pretty low on the people list of people. I was disgusted with that story. Fast 15 is coming up next.